Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Playtime Podcast, Season 3, Episode 6. Technically, this was Episode 3, but we had a few problems, as you could have seen my rant on Instagram about our editor. Not Laurie, another one. But yes, we're back and we're fresh, and we've got a new backdrop. We've got the beautiful, slightly weirdo, excessive Temptation.
Yeah.
And
slightly, I think you're about to say slut Olivia Bentley.
But we have the amazing, gorgeous Olivia Bentley. Welcome back.
Thanks, babes.
Thanks.
Is this going to be as good as last time, though?
It's going to be good.
I love how you're just fully outing your editor on the podcast as well.
Yeah, well, I didn't say his name. we had an issue and it really upset me. It really did, because I thought that was a really good episode. However, the episode is still going live, but on Patreon. So if you guys want to subscribe, $3.99, you can see that exclusive episode. And trust me, there's a few things actually we were going to take out because it was a little bit too
revealing. I don't even remember.
No, not Olivia Bentley being crude.
No, not at all. Look at that. Look at those eyes. You two also. Look at those. Just
I was looking at you.
You're looking at me. Can't be looking at me like that.
Oh, God.
Set the zone.
It's having slight anxiety now.
It's happened already. No, I'm joking.
How are you though?
I'm good.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah. How are you feeling after Corsica?
Oh God, that feels like a lifetime ago. I loved it.
A lot of people complained, and I don't know why, but we had
I
a great
was only
time.
There for 2 weeks, so I made the most of those 2 weeks. You guys were there for way longer.
Yeah, you were on a holiday. We were all working.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
Nice to see you've both got your bracelets on though.
I know, I forgot.
Mine's next to my bed and I literally took it. Mine's a bit tight though.
No, I get it. It was like a showman.
No, David, may you just calm down? You've only just put that back on.
It was a showman, so I get it. You're just friends on screen. It's fine. If you want to buy friendship bracelets, then forget about it as soon as you get back.
Can I just say, you've forgotten about three times and we've reminded you just today. Actually, we're friends, but by both saying, let's not wear it, and you're the odd one out. You look weird.
I knew that. Sad, I thought it was too good to be true.
You're just the sad one with a friendship bracelet.
Yes. You and Freddie Nashville.
It was just Olivia making up things for TV.
Oh,
what?
Throwing shade here.
I know. Famously doesn't like me.
What?
To be fair, you guys did not start a healthy relationship, did you?
Oh, what, 3 years ago when I called you little chav?
Yeah.
No.
It was
a little bit more to it than that.
We'll bleep it out. You can say it.
I can literally remember we're at a house party.
Mm. In his own home?
No, it wasn't. This wasn't even my house.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was.
No, this was before that. You were rude to me a few times.
No, I wasn't, yeah, David.
Oh my God, this is brilliant.
I had a
camouflage jacket on. And
I don't remember.
Liv looked at me and was like, who's this chubby little...
Oh my God.
I was like, nice to meet you too.
I don't think... That is not true. I said that to you in your...
Okay. Oh, so you said it twice.
I said it in your flat with Tristan.
For what reason?
Because you were a chubby little... Because
<laughs> <laughs> you were just being a chubby little cunt.
I remember when that was said, you were like, this girl... I mean, she can fuck off out of my house, first of all. Because it was so funny. You said it in his house and you were like, you're in my home.
I know, but you know what's so funny? That then set the precedent for like 2 years. We didn't like each other.
Well, can I ask a question? Why didn't you like each other? Why didn't you like each other?
No, but I think it was an awkward one. You were Tristan's friend. I was dating Tristan. This is like 3 years ago, wasn't it?
To be fair, there were a lot of tensions running when Tristan and I were living with each other. There were two relationships going on under one roof. It was just different, wasn't it?
And then I think you and Tristan had your own separate issues anyway. And then him and I arguing all the time, you doing a fucking waitress. And I was like, oh, kill him.
in my own home again,
he's allowed to do it.
Every morning I was like, let's kill him.
But look at you guys now. You guys are like all friendly.
We bonded.
You guys did bond. Corsica, I must admit, you were there for each other, which is really, really nice. And you'll see that. Well, actually, do you see that?
I don't think you will.
No, you won't see that.
No, weirdly, we never really actually filmed with each other.
No.
That was quite nice, though, because the last week, when people will see like what's happened, it was nice just to actually forget about all that stuff and have a bit of fun.
But the three of us got really close, because even you and I weren't that close before. But I think it's always hard, because whenever you're in a relationship and... Even though you and I were friends originally, then Tristan came on the scene, then you and him were friends, and then you guys fell out. Do you know what I mean? It's hard.
I think it was hard also because I've always really appreciated you. I've genuinely always had such a good laugh with you over the years. And this is like when you, your first boyfriend Digby, after that ended, you and I got closer again.
Yeah.
And then you got in a relationship with Tristan and then we kind of like distanced ourselves. I was also close to Tristan. But
you know what it is? I think it's the cock off with whoever, whichever bloke I'm with, they don't, I think you're a threat to a lot of the guys and without even doing anything. And I think that's why then, like, I remember when I was with Tristan, he didn't like you, so I sort of automatically couldn't like you.
It was, yeah, it was a weird one with that because I think, I don't know why, I think on the show, people, I mean, I give this name to myself, I'm the boyfriend tester.
You're so, the boyfriend tester, I'm the grumpy bitch. Yeah. Don't worry, we're all plastered.
And then you got the chavvy cunt over there.
Then we got the chavvy little cunt.
Liz, I love she keeps adding things to it.
No, no, no. Do you know what it ended up with? No. At the end of Corsica, bearing in mind, I was the one who was up drinking with Liv, so I blame her for me getting a rosé belly. It went from chavvy little cunt to tubby chavvy little cunt.
Chavvy tubby little cunt.
It was brilliant. You kept on adding more things and I was like, this is great. But it's nice now. It's good.
He
I
feel like it endearing.
It's endearing. It's a pet name.
Yeah, it's a pet name. But no, yeah, I think also naturally it's a very weird thing when boy and girl friendships, when one of you get into a relationship, it does change the dynamic a little bit.
Yeah.
I think naturally. But I was always gutted that we didn't, not that we weren't as close anymore, but I think Tristan obviously had a few words to you know, views and whatever about me at the time. And then now you guys have ended it and then, you know, you came to Corsica. It was so nice to like rekindle that friendship.
Yeah.
Because we genuinely do get along really,
and
really well, which
no,
is
we
really
do.
Nice.
And I think it's nice as well because we've got a friendship where it's not just like lols and stuff. Like I can talk to you about a lot of things. And I really appreciate that because it's not easy in this group of friends to have people that you can get genuine advice from where they're going to gain anything from it.
Well, I think also, you know, the premise of the show, sometimes you're very aware of who's been a friend to you for a certain reason, for their own gain. And sometimes it gets blurred, right?
Yeah.
You don't really know who
That's
to
why
trust.
Why David's trying it on with me just for airtime.
Oh,
because he needs
God.
The paycheck.
Yeah.
That day rate.
I keep looking at Olivia's Instagram followers and I'm like, right, if I could get at least 10% of that, it's worth being friends with her.
Yeah, to be fair, To be fair, after that picture you posted, it gave me like 5,000 followers in that day. And I was like,
geez.
The boyfriend tester / clout chaser.
Yeah, a little bit. We did two of them. I was like, let's do another one. Let's do another photo. I'm waiting for to do one here. Us butt naked on the Playtime couch.
Just covered in JOMO.
That's actually quite a high end idea. Laurie, let's get the shoot ready.
I think we'll all get cancelled. Bye.
Yep, and I've been there before. We always say at the start of these episodes that one of us is going to get cancelled, and for some reason it always lands on me. But no, it was a fun trip. You guys obviously regained your friendship, which I've really enjoyed.
Started friendship.
We didn't have one.
Just
to
be
start
honest with me. Were you nervous about when I came out that I was going to be a knob to you?
Yes.
No, don't hold back.
No, it won't. No,
really?
No. I actually said it to Tristan and Miles. I was like, I'm a bit apprehensive because we didn't know what villa you were going to at the start.
Yeah.
And we're not going to tell you now, but yeah.
You did say
everyone was like, you were so much fun, but I'd never seen that side of you.
Yeah, because you'd seen me crying and screaming outside your flat.
Oh my
to
God.
Be fair though, I think it wasn't all doom and gloom the whole time you and Tristan were together. We did have a few good times. I can remember having a dinner party for his birthday.
Oh, yeah, when I bought that enormous cake, which he ended up giving to a homeless man. It was so big.
Oh, that's lovely. That was nice. Do you remember the, not to bring back old horrendous memories, but remember when, was I on the phone to you and you were at the flat and you told, I heard over the phone, you went, tell Marcia, shut the fuck up.
No,
I was there like, all right.
I can remember one night, you were on the phone to me.
Yeah.
Tristan was in his room.
Mm.
Crying. Liv was banging on the door.
Crying.
And it was like I was in a fucking scene of Chelsea. And I was like, I'm not getting paid for this. I literally don't want to do this.
Yeah. It's just, and hey, look, now you're actually getting paid to be on the show and be involved in the drama.
I'm the one crying. Sue Liv.
Yeah, it's true. It is true.
What did I say in the last night of Corsica about David? Does that for fuck's sake, he's fucking crying again.
No, that was ridiculous.
It was the last day. It was so funny. He goes, if he cries one more time, honestly, I'm going to... It was really
funny.
Yeah,
I was a mess. No, yeah. That was quite emotional. Everyone was going around the table saying their favourite moments of the trip and everybody was crying. It wasn't just me.
I didn't cry.
No, I didn't cry.
We didn't cry. You fucking weirdos. To be fair, we also, I must admit, our villa, we created a little core group, which I'm really happy that you know, I think we kind of said, let's, you know, promise
we
to
have
stay.
We maintained it back here, which have. Is so nice because it's nice. Rare that that happens. Mm. And I feel like sometimes we all go away, we all get really close, then we all come back and then lead our separate lives. Yeah. But no, it is really nice.
Yeah, like we've got the bracelets and now we're hanging out wearing the bracelets.
Oh, mate, you're really bitter about this fucking bracelet. Come on, let it go.
You won't be wearing it tomorrow, I can tell you that now.
Yeah, you're going to... Also, you've stretched yours. It's like...
I think someone else stretched
it. I didn't stretch it.
Oh, someone else stretched it.
I was trying to use it with a Jomo on it. Stretched.
Oh, just an awkward, nice, long silence. So back to Corsica. It's a fiery series. Have you got any... How would you describe Corsica in a few words?
I actually think out of all the series I've ever done, firstly, it was my favourite, but it was also the most savage in terms of what went down. Like, I was quite surprised at how brutal it was.
Do you think it reminded you a bit of how old Maiden Chelsea used to be?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I thought.
In terms of just the sort of...
savageness of
you
people.
Couldn't actually make it up. I was surprised when I got there how rogue it was going to go. And then after that first dinner party, I was slightly shocked, and it takes a lot to shock me.
No, honestly, dinner parties already, when we
filmed...
That film...
was out in the 8 years that I've done Maiden Chelsea, yeah. That has to be one of the worst dinner parties we've ever done. And I wasn't even at the middle of it. Like, yeah, it wasn't even to do with me, but it was just...
We were both on the other side of the table, and it was just kind of happening middle/the end, and I was like, what?
You had some great one-liners, though. Can you tell us one of your favourite ones?
Fess up, mullet. they've kept it in.
You know what? Can you guess who that's about? I think you can. We won't say it here, but comment below.
Mine was...
bell end.
Is that what I said? Yeah. Is that what I said? Left the table, I said, you're a bell end.
It was, you know what? Everyone had a few issues on that dinner party, and it was very like, oh, you know, we're talking about this, we're talking about that. And it got to a point where I was like, this, surely we've made this up.
No, but this is...
surely this is not real. this is mad.
It was like Hogwarts, when, you know, and someone goes, order, order. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, everything was going on.
You know when
on.
People message you and or they always ask you, is it scripted? I wish it kind of was, because yeah. This stuff is so bad that you're like, you actually couldn't make it up.
You couldn't write that. No. You can't write a dinner scene like that. It was beyond hectic. And it was, like you said, I know you arrived at near the end and it was already, you know, exploding at that point. But even from week one, it was so fiery. Like,
well, we've just watched the first ep. It was literally day one of filming.
Oh my God,
it's straight into it, isn't it?
It got really, really savage. How are you feeling now also knowing to what, both of you actually watching that back and seeing, I think a lot of people forget then, you know, when we film, we don't necessarily know what other people are filming about, right?
This is why I don't watch it, honestly.
Well, you end up watching it, you get really pissed off.
Yeah.
Because you hear someone saying something about it and you're like, you what?
Oh, bored. Yeah. I'm fueled up now.
Yeah, no, he
this
is.
Season.
There's someone, he watched F1 and he went, what did he say? Mullet boy? I was like, oh God, okay. Well, this season's going to be fiery as well. It's actually helped you.
Yeah, it works well.
It solidified a few things for you, I think.
It works very well.
Going to that side of things, which I want to pick your brains about, which is being on the show. Like you said, you've been on it for 8 years, which is, what are you doing, mate? Run away, get out.
So old.
What are you doing? No, he's old. You're fine. He's got Botox later.
Yeah, but it's so interesting. People always say that to me, like, you've been around for a while. And I'm like, thanks. Even though, yeah, I'm not the oldest.
You're one of the... It's not that you're the oldest,
longest
but you're...
serving.
Yeah,
longest.
You're an OG. You're an OG.
Actually, right now, I probably am. No, yeah. I am, actually.
Yeah. I'm the OG after you.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Oh,
but I still enjoy it. I always said to myself, the second I'm not enjoying it, and I think when I'm in relationships, that's when I debate leaving.
Mm.
But now that I'm single again... I love it a lot more.
Okay, this is a really good question, actually, because I think a lot of people never really understand the pressures of sharing so much of your life and your relationship on a TV show for people to have opinions and watch each week and judge you. Why is it so tough to have a relationship on the show?
I think because relationships are hard enough as it is anyway, but then you open yourself up to so much, like, people commenting, you get, so say when I was with my ex, people then, you guys could then all comment on things that, you know, and like, in, can we, I don't know how much can we say about in real life?
You can, yeah.
In real life, you don't have that. I would never sit there and then have people verbalizing what they think about my relationship and all that sort of stuff. Like, you'd have one friend, I suppose, that you'd talk to.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't, like, I don't know, just you open yourself up to a lot. And then when it airs, you get everyone on Instagram giving their 2 cents worth. And you're like, well, fucking hell. And it's just like,
you give it back.
Oh, yeah, no, if I'm hungover on a Sunday morning, whoo, I'll troll you.
No, but you know...
On the show.
On social media, like I saw... So even the picture that we posted...
I know, I defend you, though. I never defended my relationship because everyone was right. I do defend you because I think what's so hard is people see one side of you. They don't see the whole other side. And that's where I find it, as your mate, hard, frustrating, because what people are judging you on is like... 3 minutes of your life where you're not like that in real life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And it was funny because you, under the picture that we posted, you went off and it got like 2,000 re-likes.
You're the only person I've actually ever done that for, I've just realised. No, honestly, I never even like, because I think the other times, whatever I'm saying.
I can't. Can you cry? Please cry.
I'll cry now.
I'll give this hits. Thank you. That's so sweet.
No, but yeah, it's, yeah.
No, it's really, really hard to... be able to showcase so much of your life on TV. And I think you've got to be strong-willed to accept that challenge. You know, I think when you're younger, you look at it, you go, this is so much fun. And it looks like fun. And don't get me wrong, there's so many aspects of being on TV that are so much fun, but it does come with...
the negative. No one sees that. What people see is us swanning around drinking coffee for a couple hours and being paid to do it. Like, that's what everyone views our lives on, which is why sometimes I find it frustrating because they're like, oh, go get a job. And it's like, no one sees that we do actually have jobs. Yeah. Like, I work my ass off every day with JMO.
Yeah, of course.
And like, the same with you doing your like Playtime productions. Like, we all
yeah.
do.
Yeah. We've got given a platform when we were younger. We have been able to then see we can create businesses through that, and through doing Chelsea or any other reality TV show, you go, okay, well, I can push my business. I'm also something that I think, you know, we're all in our, well, apart from you, we're in our 20s still, late 20s now. But what I'm saying is that it's a great opportunity to, if anyone else got the opportunity to come on the show, they would fucking do it in a second.
Yeah. That's what I mean. And like, it is a job at the end of the day. Yeah. I always think it drains you so much when you're filming, doesn't it? Because you are so present.
Mm. But it's mentally draining. I think that's the problem. It's not like physical. It's more like, it's like I think you feel emotionally drained, which is why when you're in a relationship on the show, the emotional, like, not torment that you go through, but it is so hard because you've got to, you care about the person you're dating. You then have to, you know, like, there's just so much that goes into it. It's not as simple as...
Yeah. Well, and trust me, when there are like... Okay, this is how I put it. Imagine your normal relationship right now, boyfriend, girlfriend, something's upset you, and let's say you found out that your partner's cheated on you, right? Mm. Not only that is very fucking difficult and painful,
yeah.
but you'll be the last one to find out.
Yeah.
Everyone will be talking
All your
about
friends
it.
Know.
And then you've got to then do it, show up to film in four to five hours,
yeah.
filming about that, having this huge go with a room filled of people, and then a couple of months later you have to re-watch it and have everyone else have an opinion about your fucking heartbreak. It's tough,
but this is where Chelsea's actually really good, because there are so many times you pick up on things that go on in your relationship a lot quicker because of the show and stuff you wouldn't really think about. Like, I remember, I'm trying to think of a scenario, I don't really come else to talk about it, but like, you see the red flags a lot quicker, which is beneficial to Chelsea, because you have to almost address certain things that potentially in real life you probably wouldn't really think about, or you'd work that out further down the line when it's probably a bit too late, which is why I do rate the show for that.
Yeah, no, that is true. It does help you. It does speed up the process a little bit, doesn't it?
And you get to find out the truth.
Yeah,
if it happens on camera.
No, but also
happened.
But if you think about it as well, realistically, like, people have only ever found out that someone's cheated is because they've been filmed in the back of Raffles. If you were like some random, any old Tom, Dick and Harry, no one's going to film a random bloke being like, oh, he's obviously cheated on his girl. But
so
because
true.
They go, oh, they're all Made in Chelsea, I'm going to catch them out now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's why I think it's beneficial.
Yeah.
Just
don't cheat, essentially. But like,
Don't cheat. We're not saying this is a good excuse. By the way, come on Made in Chelsea and you get caught.
Don't do it in Raffles.
These people are going to have those opinions anyway.
Mm.
We're just putting ourselves in a position where we find it out.
Yeah.
So you've got to be pretty thick-skinned.
Yeah.
But they're saying it on Twitter anyway. It's no different. People are always going to have their opinion.
Yeah. What? How have you dealt with that? With the whole...
What, like trolling?
I think it's really... I think a lot of people find it hard. I found it hard when I first started the show. And then I found it quite comical because I've, you know, seen these... tweets or comments and you're like, okay, you've spent, you know, an hour of your day to say something really, really horrible. How have you dealt with it for 8 years?
I think, so when I started, it was mainly Twitter. It wasn't Instagram. Like, Instagram wasn't that big then. And it was like, oh, I'd get savage ones each week. Where's her hair gone? Like, but mine was always about my physical appearance or slut shaming. And then, but on Instagram, now I fortunately don't really get it. I'll get like the odd one, but nothing compared to some of the other cast. But I think that's because I've done it for so long.
Yeah.
Like the longer you do it, the less you get trolled, if that makes sense. Because I think that's people like know you maybe. But
well, the whole thing is that they fall in love with you, they hate you, they love you, they hate you. Yeah. And it's a kind of a journey. And I always, sometimes I, when I look at comments, look, I would never watch a TV show and then start commenting about someone.
Can you imagine taking the time out of your day to go and troll someone else who's like...
I think you do, like, without even realising it. You'd comment on what's happening on TV. You wouldn't go out of your way to at that person and tell them what you think. But I noticed it before. I was in a room watching TV and probably every 30 seconds, somebody comments about either something somebody's doing or the way they look. Yeah. It's human nature. But to go out of your way to then put it on social media, that's when it's not needed.
Yeah.
But everyone's naturally...
Well, we all prejudge people before you meet them.
I sometimes get DMs from people and sometimes they're a bit like, I don't know what they say. And I reply and they go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I thought your management ran your account. And I was like, what? So you think it's still acceptable to send me nasty messages because you think I'm not going to see them?
Yeah. It's so funny when
it's
respond.
So weird.
They all like,
they shit themselves. They go,
quickly.
I'm so sorry. And
no,
I'm like,
no,
yeah,
I love you. You're so great. And one of them was like, oh, that was my boyfriend. You wrote that. I went, sure.
Yeah.
Sweet.
We were on a live in Corsica, weren't we? And somebody was going, can you get Liv to unblock me?
That was it.
You were like, what was the reason you did it?
When people make when it was mainly people who'd savagely comment on the way I looked, I would just block them instantly. I wouldn't even reply to them. I would just block them.
Yeah.
Like, I never really engage with anyone who trolls. I just either delete it or block them.
I've got a lot blocked. I've realised. Yeah, I've got so many things. Like, sometimes there will be a few. Like, there's recently someone went in on one of my Playtime clips where we were talking about how it was one of our podcasts, and we were talking about how men are maybe a bit scared to be vulnerable with their girlfriends because of what society think and how they should be a man, all this kind of thing. And I wasn't even talking about crying, right? And this guy comments on it and said, men should be stoic and shouldn't cry like a little baby like you are. And he went in on me a little bit.
What?
And I didn't say anything about crying. I was just talking about how men should be vulnerable a little bit more. And you know, maybe women are not ready for it, but we should open that conversation. Just, you know, talking about that side of things.
That's why I got close with David, is because I saw a side that you like. It's so refreshing to hang around people who are more honest and like, as much as I joke about you crying all the time. No, I'm being serious. I haven't hung around blokes that are like that, but I think it's a very like attractive attribute for sure.
I
listen to that bullshit.
No. I'm not. What I was trying to say is that it was interesting when I got that, and so many people were defending me, and I then wrote, you know, I thought, you know, I'm gonna write something, and I said, look, it's nothing about crying. I didn't even talk about crying. I was talking about how men should be vulnerable, and he still went in, and then Hendrix wrote something about it, and he wrote his huge page, and Hendrix is like my coach, he's a fucking bodybuilder, it's huge, and all these things, and he hasn't stopped. He's got two kids, and it got over like nearly 200 comments of them talking to each other, and I left it because I thought this is exactly what I wanted, because I always say Playtime podcast and any sort of you know, podcast for me is a place where you open conversation, regardless if you agree or disagree. You get to have a cool debate. You get to like learn something new about someone, even if it's not in the best way.
Yeah.
And look, he did it. It was rude, but it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. But I really enjoyed it. And that's when I keep things. I'm like, you know what? I want to keep that. Because I could have deleted the first comment. It would have deleted the whole thing. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave that there. It's quite nice to have people actually comment on this, and this is what it is, and it's a weird way of freedom of speech, when even if it's a negative, it's quite healthy to have that. It's a hard balance, I think, to find that. But yeah, sorry, we're not ranting about that comment, but back to you about vulnerability, which is very, very nice that you like that in men, because I don't think a lot of guys expect that from you.
Yeah, no, shocking. Walks on the ice queen.
You do have the reputation to be the ice queen,
but I'm actually not, though. But I think I have that, like, I'm not very good at talking about deep shit. Like, I don't know why. It just doesn't come naturally to me. So I think on the show, try not, I don't know.
Why do you think that's not something that you feel comfortable doing?
I think, you know what, to be perfectly honest, after my last relationship, a lot of personal shit I spoke about with my ex was then I felt used against me. And so then I go back to like, having this like wall up, and I don't enjoy being in a position where someone can use something that's hurt me and use it against me. And I feel like that has happened a lot. And so it's just, that's why I'm just, you know, that's why I joke all the time, because it's like more of a, I'll just laugh it off.
No, but I think you are that person as well, though. And it, you don't need to get confused between using humor to mask stuff and actually being who you are.
Yeah.
And that's what I got to know in Corsica, because I saw this like hard ice queen before that. And then you came like after 4 weeks, we needed a new lease of life. It was just like energy straight away.
Yeah.
And obviously me and you were going through similar stuff at the same time. And that's kind of how we started actually having a proper conversation. And that's what it was. But we were fucking around in the day and then like actually talking about what it was that was like weighing us down or whatever. And I said to you, I feel like it was me sort of like offloading everything onto you.
And me with you actually, which I is rare, because I haven't had that with anyone in a long time. And I like, especially after my last breakup, like I was so much shit happened all at once. That breakup was like minor compared to everything else that I was going through. And I just don't, my mum always says it to me all the time. She's like, I'm so worried. And she wrote me a card once. And on the front of it, it said, this is a safe place to cry, because she knows that I just don't talk about anything.
That's really amazing. That's really, really sweet.
But it's nice to have that sort of like friendship with someone.
But I think that's what really made you guys close, you know, and build a new friendship, because of, I think you didn't expect him to be necessarily like that. And I think definitely didn't expect Liv to be so open and warm. And I think there's a natural thing when you communicate with someone, you talk to them, you can, it's a weird energy thing, you can automatically feel like where you're going to be at with them. And I think you guys throughout the last, you know, 2 weeks of that trip had that safe space together. And I think that was really, really sweet. You were going through those things.
But it's weird how you can only get that with certain people. Like I never had that with my ex over the 3 years. I never felt comfortable to be able to talk to him about anything, because I felt judged.
Can I ask a question? Not to go too personal with all these little questions, but do you feel like you've always gone for a type of man based on what you think men think of you?
No, I think, to be perfectly honest, like with Digby, and I had a lot of love for Digby. I think when I first met Digby, I was a bit of a party animal, and he was very, I thought it's what I needed. And he was very sweet. He was very kind, and he was very slightly opposite. And ultimately, that's why we sort of weren't actually right for each other in the end, because everything amazing about him is actually not what I wanted. I thought it's what I needed. And then with the next relationship, it wasn't circumstantial, but you know, it was lockdown. We were filming in those houses. I don't know if in real life we necessarily would have hooked up, would have got together. That's not said nastily, because you know, I think him and I were just two very different people. And I think what I saw in my ex, sorry, I don't want to, I just can't be bothered to say his name.
Yes, fine.
With my ex, he gave off this like manly sort of bravado thing. No, this manly side, which is what I thought I wanted, when ultimately that's what I didn't like, and that's what made me break up with him. So I basically went from one to the other.
Yeah, you need a kind of healthy balance.
Someone in between.
Yeah, just someone who is sweet but not too sweet, that you can push over and you can walk
all
over.
But Digby was very... Digby, it was like a really nice love that we had for each other. It was a young love, and it was very... Like, I look back and have such happy memories with him. I mean, I'm hoping he does too now after I ruined his life.
But. Yeah, I mean, I think he probably will say now, because he's happy now. But I think before he was happy with another girl, I don't think he had happy memories.
No, I think the problem was as well, I think we were too... I'd done TV for a few years.
He was
sort of new to it. And I think it was so hard, because you have to sort of like, to be on the show, you have to work with them on what you want to talk about. And it's almost like two relationships. So you have your relationship with the show and your relationship with whoever it is that you're dating.
Yeah.
And it is a lot of...
Especially if you, like you just said, you've done the show for a few years beforehand, and he's just immersed himself into that.
Yeah.
It's like he's still learning how it all works, you know, how when it airs, how to deal with that, and then seeing himself on camera. There's a lot that comes with it, which is...
And also just, I'm completely lunatic and I just wasn't particularly nice to him.
Again, like you said, you were also young and...
Self-awareness.
Hey, there you go.
Growing.
Am I? I'm not growing up.
She needs a few more lessons, I think. But we'll get in that. I'm joking. Anyway, moving on. No, joking. I think it's really refreshing to hear that coming from you, because I think, again, like we were talking before, you know, I think a lot of viewers and people may think that, you know, you have this hard exterior and you don't show that amount of love. But really something that I've noticed about you is all you want is someone to just give you a hug and say it's all going to be okay. Genuinely.
That's all it is.
It's all it's so simple.
I think the opposite though, because I only knew that's what you wanted from watching Made in Chelsea, because I didn't really know you and Tristan. Like, Tristan and I weren't super close when you two were together.
Yeah.
So I'd seen that on TV and I was like, well, I'm not here to give you that. So then we just started talking. And then I was like, I thought this is what you wanted was a cuddle, and I wasn't obviously going to do that. So I was just like, here's how I feel. And yeah. I think because I made myself vulnerable and like
then
opened
I was
up
easy
to you,
talk to you
then
about
it just
it,
was
yeah.
like a safe space.
But it's different talking to someone about how you feel and what you're going through to talking to someone who's trying to fix you. And that's where I find it really hard with my ex, because I think he was so desperate to fix me, but I don't need fixing. Like, I think we all are the way we are. Sure, there are things we can work on, but I don't think we can all change at this point. Like,
I think also if you're in a relationship and you're trying to fix someone, you shouldn't be in that relationship. Yeah. You should love the person for who they are as a person. And love those, you know, quirky bits, maybe some, you know, weird things that they do, whatever it
flash
is.
Flash their tits and raffles. Exactly. That's where I'll grow.
Or on the beach bar, whatever you're doing. But I think you evolve together rather than trying to change someone or fix someone. Like, and also you kind of want to, it's a weird thing of like you, it's not that you want to change for someone, but you compromise
the change, yeah.
You kind of like, you know that bothers them a little bit, or you know that they'll like that, and you'll do something that you may not like or whatever it is, and you help each other out because you're in a grown relationship. So there's that side. I think you guys were just butting heads. It was just two flames trying to you know, work something out, and it was hard.
But you can't say you didn't work for it and then you acknowledge that it wasn't right, so you part ways. It's either growing together or
give it the chop.
Yeah,
give it the job. Okay, yeah. Well, look, enough about Made in Chelsea. I'd like to talk about your beautiful, amazing brand, Jomo.
Which I know you boys have used ferociously.
Never heard of it.
Let's look at this bottle.
David, don't you lie to me.
What does it mean again?
Is this a used one?
Listen, I'll be honest, right? I use these ones have been used for photographs, right? Because
are you sure?
Certain cast members have been into my house and stolen all my samples. I'm looking right down the lens as I'm saying this. You boys have gone through so many each.
I've gone through a bottle in the last... How long have we been back? Actually, no.
I've gone through
the
two.
Good thing
these,
about
by the way, these haven't been used for personal use. They're like that for photos.
Yeah, I'd say that as well. Sure. If I'd been using it for personal use.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good for neck massages as well, actually. I fucked my neck up in Corsica.
And he got a delightful massage by
the way. Little massage.
I mean, it was
along with a boner, didn't he, David?
Yeah.
Okay, so talk us through this. So first of all, why did you want to start this company? Okay. And what is different about Jomo to any other lube company?
So Jomo stands for joy of missing out, and then also jealous of my orgasm. And it was started...
I love that way. Joy of missing out.
Joy of missing out. So
and
the
jealous
of FOMO. Jealous of my orgasm.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah. So you're missing out on going out and
you're staying in and enjoying yourself. And what? David.
Can you get him to do the campaign, please?
No.
Staying in to blast yourself. Fucking hell, mate.
Filthy. No, so it was created at the beginning of lockdown when obviously no one had FOMO because nothing was going on. And so it was like enjoying that time by yourself. And I remember saying to a friend of mine, we were like on my morning walk, which everyone knows about now. And I said, is it weird that I still fake orgasming? And she was like, I mean, you'll get to an age where you probably should stop doing it. And then I realized more and more girls actually do that.
Do,
I know.
He's done this, his second time he's done this in the podcast.
But I feel like I always say do-do.
Do-do.
Do-do. Anyway, I realized so many girls do that. And that's how me and my friend got on to sort of looking into like different ways of like enhancing your orgasm, and because obviously you know girls, not all girls can come from penetrative sex.
Lies. Everyone. Oh my god. Honestly, every time I go there, that's it.
Hey, tell them back a second.
5, 6, 7 times a night.
Take that back to the fake orgasms. Why would you not communicate that to the partner that you're with?
Because this was like 4 years ago, by the way. So okay. So
38.
Fuck you. Shit.
He's just sad because he's getting older.
Charlie back.
Get Charlie back.
I don't know. I think it was just a thing. I remember I started doing it when I was like really young, but I think that stems from like you know, sex scenes in films, porn. But I think girls automatically assume you have to orgasm for sex to be good. But
yeah.
But that's because girls want the guy to think it's good.
Do you think there's a
misinformed, I think, from a young age, yeah, of knowing what sex is all about. Because I
porn's to blame for a lot of that.
Porn is to blame, hugely. But I remember, for example, like, honestly, thanks to my dad, the French man, who had a conversation with me about, you know, sex and women and all these sort of things when I was in school. Honestly, that we had a class where we put a condom on a banana,
same, in a box, yeah, just so you could do it in the,
yeah,
dark,
yeah,
like, but that's not sex ed.
Well,
like,
well, that is not sex education.
At my school, I had to get my dick out and show them how to do it.
You chubby little cunt. No, but it's so true. Like, when, like, sex education is so not, which is why, you know, that TV series, Sex Education. Yeah, I love
it's great.
That.
It's such a series.
That is sex ed, yeah, for people. But yeah, you don't, no one really knows about that. Like, you don't learn. I'm sure it took you a long time to find the clitoris, David. Like, do you
what's
not...
that?
Still haven't found it. Still looking, searching.
It's a what?
It's a what?
But yeah, so there's so many different things like that.
And like, for example, I go back to even my first time, you know, losing, when I lost my virginity, like the pressure, the, you being so scared of doing. Obviously, it's when you do your first time, like, it is a big moment. But I was so uninformed of like what really to do.
Same with girls. No, but it's like with girls with masturbation. And that's the whole other thing with JOMO, is that like, you don't tend to really hear women speak freely and openly about masturbation, because it's not the same as guys who joke and like, oh, just had a wank. Like, they just don't. And so the whole point was trying to take like the shame and the stigma surrounding female masturbation and take out, which is why the bottle looks like a perfume bottle. So you'd want it on like your bedside table, and you wouldn't really know, yeah, what that was.
No, it's true. Okay. I've said this so many times, and I said it on the first podcast that we did, but I'll say it again. Like, no joke, I'm not doing this because you're a very good friend of mine and you've come on my show and you're promoting JOMO. Genuinely, I've tried a lot of lube. Like, really? A lot of lube.
Which, can I say something? It's interesting that you say that, because most guys always go, oh, I don't need lube. It's not actually about needing lube, by the way.
Yeah.
It's about making, it's like adding something else to.
No, so this is the thing. I'm going to come on to this now. So when you first gave it to me, I tried it solely on myself because I did not have a sexual partner at the time, and I was like, this is unbelievable. I was a bit worried because I thought it would make my dick numb because it's got CBD in it.
Miles, by the way, messaged me. This is the first message I got from Miles going, oh, will it make my dick fall asleep? And I was like, Miles, please, I'm not even responding without an answer.
I just look again, and this is me being uninformed on, you know, lube, CBD, whatever, but I thought it was amazing. The smell, everything like that. Now, I've used it sexually.
Tell me now.
Sexually, sorry. I've always used it sexually. I've used it during sex. Now, with myself and my current partner, like you said, we don't need lube. Hey, honey. We genuinely do. We don't. And I said, look,
you're,
I really want
to... such a stud.
I am. I said, let's try this. And she was like, yeah, really excited. She, Liv even called me the other day. She's like, oh, I've got a new, you know, something coming out soon.
Bring that one. Good.
I want you to try the new one. And I was like, okay, cool. Anyway. So we tried this, and it's like the scent. I think sex can sometimes, not if you don't, it's not about smelling bad, but you know, you smell that sex smell, yeah, after, yeah, you know, like, no, your sheets, yourself, even if you have a shower.
David,
like,
knows exactly what you're talking.
No. Okay, anyway, the sex smell. You can always smell sex, even if you have a shower, like the sex. This, oh my God, you smell amazing. And the biggest difference between lube and what you're selling is that lube is sticky and, yeah, it dries up, which is not what lube should be doing.
That's really...
This is also really good for your skin anyway. That's where it's a body massage and arousal oil.
That's
also
why I keep using it. Like, I want my skin to be really good, so I use it at least 3 times
vitamin-y,
a day.
It's all natural. It's vegan.
No, genuinely, like, it's like an oil. It's not this weird, like, sticky... gel almost, yeah, and that's the worst thing about lube, and I think that's why a lot of people don't like using it.
There's a smell as well. That's, yes, why with this it's all like, because it is lickable. I mean, I wouldn't drink the bottle, but like, you can, for, you know,
lick it.
Oral use.
Foreplay. But also the thing with girls is,
no,
girls are very sensitive down there. Rub it on your hands. Don't, David, you've tried so much of it.
There you go. Does it actually, you can taste it, can you?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't taste, it's not like, go on.
Mm,
it's like oily.
Yeah, no, it's actually really nice.
You are such a filth bag.
All right, guys,
but no, the
get a room.
The other thing with girls and guys is we have different pH balances down there, and girls can get offset very easily by things. So like, girls shouldn't use like shower gels and all that sort of stuff. And so it's very common with certain lubes for girls to get like not thrush, what's the word?
Just BV.
Stuff
bacterial
like that.
Bacterial vaginosis.
But because this is neutral, it won't like affect your pH balance. Please don't say bacterial vaginosis like that.
What?
But yeah, it's...
I don't know, just the fact that you knew that so quickly.
I've never had it.
BV.
Always get it. No, vag.
Vag, no, he's got vagina.
Chlamydia is what you... Joke.
Let's not bring it down. Let's, that
no
low.
No no, can we cut all that stuff?
No, no, it's a great brand, and what we've got discount codes, we can give you a discount right now.
Use my one.
Use mine. Miles 10 and you get 10% off your order. Or temps 10. Is it temps 10 or David 10?
Temps 10. I should have done David.
There you go. Try that out for yourself. And genuinely, like, again, I'm not saying this because you're my friend. I think it's the best lube product out on the market to this day.
You are very sweet.
I do genuinely mean that, and I wouldn't say if I didn't believe it. It is epic, and I do need a refill. So
thank you. You can get a lifetime supply because now that you're my guinea pig, any new samples you'll be getting.
Thank you very much.
What about me?
Well, I can send you the sex toys.
So is that something you want to go into after as well?
Yeah,
sex toys.
We're in the process of doing it as well now.
So okay, this is my thing, right? With sex toys, I think there are lots and lots of companies who do them. How are you going to make it different? Like, what is your thought process?
So our whole thing is like, it's keeping it simple, and it's not having like, it's, we're not going down the route of like butt plugs and all that sort of different things. It's more
that's
like
what I wanted.
I think also, do you want butt plugs?
I want a butt plug.
I'll do a line of butt plugs just for
you. Yeah, it's more like,
I was
what?
Trying to think of a really catchy phrase, what we call it. Miles's
butt. Plug the Miles.
Because also, masturbation's good for you.
Mm.
Like, it does make you feel good. And so why not do a sex toy that goes with a good oil?
That's the kind of great makes sense, way right? to sell it.
Because also, we're encouraging it. Like, you know... Like, I'll be honest. If I can't sleep at night, I'll probably masturbate.
Yeah, of course. It knocks you out. It's true. No, but it's true.
Knocks you out.
It really does. No, like, if you...
I'll do it even if I can sleep. It's a non-negotiable for me.
No, but you've got too much testosterone, so you wank about 4 times a day. What I was going to say, you brushed on it a little bit. The porn industry. So I've stopped watching porn now for, I don't know, 3+ months now.
Do you feel better for it?
Yeah.
Is your sex drive better?
I don't know. Actually, I've not seen the difference in that sense.
Yeah.
I never really watched a lot of porn anyway, but I just thought the graphic images, I think watching, you know, porn and understand, obviously I understand that this is not really real. So it was never a problem for me, but I wasn't like, you know, obsessed with it.
Expecting that's
what it is. But for sure, I'm so glad I don't watch those graphic images. Yeah. You know, there are, you know, and you're going down a rabbit hole. Like, people who watch porn, you end up watching an hour of, like, you get into a category. You're like, what am I watching?
What's the category?
Because I think what happens, it's like a high, right? It's like a drug, right? If you're used to taking something, you get immune to it. Your tolerance is high, right? And I think it's the same thing with porn. You watch the first one, which is maybe romantic porn or whatever you want to call it, that category.
I've never watched porn in my life, by the way.
What?
Yeah. Ever. I think I watched the clip once when I was 16 with some friends hungover, and that was it. It was like 2 seconds. But yeah, I've never watched porn.
How come?
It's never been. I don't know if it's different. Well, actually, no, I suppose it's the same because I know a lot of girls who do watch porn, but I just never have.
You just must have a strong imagination then.
Oh, I do. I wrote you a dirty novel, babe. You know about my imagination. No, but I just, it was never something that, like, if I was to masturbate, I would use my imagination. I've never watched it.
Interesting. Well I think it's it can be really dark. You end up watching things that you would never really do with your partner or with someone.
But I think what also is, when you first, like, with teenage boys, when they first whatever, they'll watch porn before they ever have sex, so their, like, idea of what sex is going to be like is so different. And I think that's very hard. It's hard for girls for the way they view their bodies, because guys expect girls to look a certain way when they don't look like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's confusing to young boys. Like, I think there's so many negatives because of it.
Yeah, it's
It was Billie Eilish did an article the other day, and she was saying she started watching porn when she was like 13 or something.
Yeah.
And it messed her up a bit.
I think it does. It's watching those sort of images, especially now, the generation, like, we just caught on to the computers and watching porn online and everything like that. And it was probably tame-ish by then. Nowadays,
God, the things they're doing. And also people with like having OnlyFans or all these other channels, it's a lot of information.
Longer than the days of Nuts magazine.
Oh my God, Nuts. Oh my God, that's giving me a little flashback.
I think that's probably the only porn I've ever seen. Yeah. Nuts
magazine. I can remember you used to like ring up Babe Station.
I bet you used to.
Fucking
bet,
yeah, a little. Do you remember? No, do you remember it would be at midnight, there'd be these the channels and you'd be watching.
3 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You sick.
We were, when I was a kid, I'd run downstairs after my parents had gone to bed and I'd flick to the channels and find it. But I think also boys. Again, I'd love to look at the studies in this. Like, obviously, when we're growing up, we have a lot of testosterone. We get horny. We don't know how to manage that. And I think when you're viewing those images, you need a release because you don't know how to release properly. There's loads of different things, I think, growing up as a boy.
Yeah, it's different. I think discovering it's very different boys and girls.
I remember the first time I discovered having, like, wanking. Like, I couldn't stop doing it. Like, I remember the first time I did it. I wanked on the tube once.
What? Going no, to school. Moss,
yeah,
you can't.
Yeah, I wanked on the tube once.
I think that's an arrestable offence.
Yeah, but I was 16.
Wait, a busy tube?
I was 16.
What, in the seat or do you go to the toilet?
No,
in
the seat.
What the fuck?
The fuck?
Yeah, I don't wanked on the tube once.
Where did you come?
Guys, I think I came sorry. In like, a tissue. Don't you tarnish my JOMO brand.
No, no, sorry. But I'm saying tube. Like, yeah, you get, you.
What the fuck are you doing?
What do you mean?
I don't think
I'm going to air that. I don't care. Yeah, I don't wank on the tube. What's wrong with that?
Cameras for a start. People around you.
Look, I was young.
The fact it's illegal.
Yeah, I didn't know it was illegal. Hey, okay. Have you guys done public sex?
Yes,
that's
but
also
in, like,
fucking illegal.
In a loo. I
wasn't out on the train. You're like, having a wank like that. I had like a cover over me and I was like, oh, fucking horny. I had a wank.
It's just getting weirder.
I kind of, I've raised it for myself.
What's the next topic?
The young Mars, he was having fun. No, but I'm saying you do, like, when you discover that as a teenager, you don't really know what to do. Like, you
it's
are
a
like,
weird, but this is where sex education comes in, because it's like, because not once at school did you ever probably have a conversation with a teacher about having a wank. Like, no, you wouldn't.
But it would be wrong. It would be weird as well if you're like.
No, but it should be spoken about, because this is where, do you know what I mean? Like,
well, it should be a professional. Yeah, I think it should be a teacher. I think someone should come into the schools and genuinely have a open discussion about consent, about sex between men, and also sex between, it should be separate classes, men and women, because it is very different. It is very, very different. And it's a big topic to go through that. And I can only imagine for women, a lot scarier when you lose your virginity and you're entering that world of sex.
Would you do an educational for JOMO? Because you seem to be like so knowledgeable about this sort
it's
of
interesting you say that. Me and my business partner, I think it was like last summer, we were debating doing like sex ed, but I think it's a hard one, because I wouldn't know enough, because also doing this, I'm learning at the same time. Like, our biggest buyers are like women who are postmenopausal. It's for all ages, but like there's so much stuff that I'm still learning that eventually I'd love to do something like that, but I think I need to learn more first.
Do you know your stats at the moment with JOMO? What's your category like?
So it's from 20-year-olds to about 60-year-olds, probably a bit higher, and it's equal men and women, a lot of men, because it helps with erectile dysfunction and it helps with, yeah, like maintaining a boner. There's so many different things.
There you go.
Just
but
down.
There's so many things that like women, and also that's another thing, women aren't educated, not women, but at school you don't learn about menopause. No one does. You suddenly have to go through it when you're whatever age, and I mean some people go through menopause at late 20s. It changes so much now, and that's like also one of our biggest buyers is perimenopausal. You go through a lot when you go post-pregnancy. There's a lot. And a lot of our buyers are post-chemo patients. And we get most amazing reviews. I cry when I read some of the reviews. This guy sent one in and he basically said it was the first time him and his wife had had sex in 3 years, which was all thanks to JOMO. It was the most amazing message. And me and my business partner sat there and we burst into tears.
For what reason? Why did it help?
Because the chemo had obviously affected so many different things. And I think his wife had had a double... I think it was breast cancer, and so I can't really remember what it was, but it was it had obviously affected everything down there, and yeah, it helps, because with menopause you stop producing estrogen, so you don't produce enough natural lubrication, which is why lube is beneficial if you are going through menopause.
I didn't know that.
If you go through different things, but this is the other thing that people don't realize. So like girls who go on the pill, or if you're on certain medications that are like antidepressants, it can stop things, like you can stop lubrication down there, which is why lube is good for that. So it's multi-purpose in so many ways. Like, it's good whether you need it or you don't need it.
Wow. God, that's actually knowledge I had no idea.
There's so much to it, isn't it? Even like the erectile dysfunction stuff, women could think that it was their problem that men can't do anything. And if they're too, like...
Honestly, sex is such a minefield. And I think with women, it's like, if a guy suddenly can't get it up, women automatically go, it's because I'm not attractive.
Is that what they think?
That's what they think. But they forget that guys, if they've had a stressful day at work, and like, there's so many different things that
relate to it. Because we feel horrendous. Like, if we like, it's a big... I remember, when I was younger... And again, like discovering sex and, you know, starts to have sex. The biggest worries I had was more ejaculating quickly. I was like, I can't come quick. I've got to make sure. And you, as guys, it's really like, there's so much pressure when you're like your first times and who you're hooking up, because you feel so embarrassed. Let's say you came quick. Nowadays, I think as you grow older and you have more sexual partners, or you're more open or you have a long-term relationship, you understand that, okay, you come early for the first time. Don't worry, in about 10, 15 minutes, you can go again and you'll be able to last longer. And then you don't feel so bad or embarrassed about those situations. But when you're going through that at a young age, it is super stressful. And I think also one of those things, which is not, you can be in your head, right? I have a friend, I'm not going to say his name because he's actually quite famous. he called me once a couple of years ago, and he said, look, I'm really stressed at the moment. And he gets, he's fine with the girls, really, really fine with the girls. And he called me, he was like, yeah, I'm really stressed. I get really stressed when I'm with a girl because now I'm thinking about not getting up. And I was like, okay, cool. There's two things. The way I have dealt with something like that in the past is maybe talk to someone that you've been with and that you have a casual kind of conversation, or maybe you've had a casual partner in the past where you were friends with benefits. Talk to them, maybe see if they want to hook up again and give that confidence back to you, because you're not thinking about it because you know you've already been with that person. That helps you. And then I said, look, there's another thing. You can take a Viagra to give you that boost. Honestly, to that one time, obviously you can go into a bad spiral where you would take it every single time because you're like, oh my God, this is so beneficial, I'm so hard, whatever.
Well,
this
works as a natural Viagra.
Well, there you go. That's really cool, because I know the pressures for men, sometimes you get lost in your head. And I didn't realize, to be honest, that women actually felt like it was their problem, because we think, I think you can agree, we think it's us. We're like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed, she's gonna tell all her friends, I couldn't get it up, or whatever.
It's
like,
so, honestly, it's so interesting how you automatically assume it's you and it's not, like, do you not?
Yeah, of course. But I guess I'm not surprised, because as a woman, if you're thinking I'm supposed to be really sexy for my man and he's not getting up, I can imagine why she thinks that way. But then we're not like that. We're so attracted to you. It gets to our head.
This is the problem. No one ever talks about it. And so like, along with Gemma, we're trying to do this, like trying to do sort of IGTVs with different like experts and specialists to like talk about it more and like just have it out there as like a sort of open space for people to feel like they can learn and ask different questions and stuff.
I think that's one thing that we should learn from also talking about Joma and sex, is communication with your sex partner, I say that, or your partner or whatever, is so important, and you should really enjoy it. I remember when I first started to communicate with a sexual partner, I was really, it scared me a little bit, because you automatically think, oh, is it dirty talk? It's not that. No. It's telling your partner, what do you like? Because I could sit here and guess what you like for the first time. And obviously, as you progress, you'll learn things that they like, and you know, together you grow sexually. But I think it's so healthy being able to say, is this something you like? Do you want me to do this? Or tell me where I'm going wrong. And it's such a good conversation to have. And you also get better because of it. People should not be scared of doing that. Okay, so just to finish on the last bit, we asked the lovely audience of our Instagrams to ask you some questions. We're going to go through some, and we're going to hopefully keep it juicy. We're going to shout the names out as well, because I feel like we want you guys to feel like you're part of the podcast. And
if any are from Freddie Natchballs...
Okay, first question. This is from Z245784. Great username. Will you ever make a sex tape? Is there one out there?
I only thought about it.
Surely the answer is just no.
Would I ever? I wouldn't make one so people can see it.
Would you ever make one? I think
make
a public sex.
Yeah, of course. I would have been the next Kim Kardashian.
No, but I think it's.
I would if I knew. What did you say?
I would if I had a bottle of Jomo.
If I knew, no one would ever see it. And I don't actually, I don't even know if I made one, I don't even think I could probably watch it. Like, I don't know.
You can't even listen to a podcast back, let alone watch yourself having sex.
You know what's weird? I think because you're quite a creative person at heart.
Can we get the angle wide on that?
Main Chelsea scene. Can we get some pretties?
Sandbag on that?
Am I just reading random ones?
Just go for it. Yeah, there's loads.
Does your family own Bentleys, like the cars, or is that a rumour?
That was a rumour made up by the Daily Mail, who then had the cheek to then troll me for it and write an article saying I'd lied. No, we do not own Bentley. I'm not an heiress. I don't drive a Bentley.
Oh, okay. This is quite good. When has your surname ever been your biggest advantage and biggest disadvantage?
People assuming I own Bentley. Honestly, people at school used to say, if I date you, would I get one? And I was like, obviously not. And also, no. Disadvantage. I actually like my surname.
I love your surname. It's great. Bentley. Olivia Bentley. The first time I heard about you, I was like, she's fucking the owner of Bentley cars. No. It's unreal.
Don't mind people thinking that.
I'll be friends with you.
I just like to address as Bentley.
Well, you like to address
David.
Bentley.
David and Bentley. Fucking hell. I've got a question that's so funny.
These are ridiculous.
I know, there's some that you got, but yeah, hey, this really is all about the juice. Just go for it.
How the fuck did you fit through that sliding door in Corsica? That was so jokes. For anyone that hasn't seen it, Mars and I were making a TikTok with Ruby, and he had like sliding doors open, gradually getting them smaller and smaller and smaller, and then got to a point where Ruby's boobs and bum didn't fit through the door.
Yeah, basically. So what David's politely saying is that I don't have tits or an ass, which is how I could fit.
Yeah,
the
I didn't
door,
really think about
like
that.
Top,
yeah, yeah. You it was more the comedic value of the video.
Thank you.
Okay, this is from Jenny. This is from Jenny. This is just brilliant. You would make a fantastic lesbian. Have you ever considered it?
Why does everyone think I'm gay? Honestly, like I wouldn't mind. I don't mind. But do you know the amount of girls who I've had trying it on with me recently? And I don't know if it's do I give off some vibe or it's because I'm not. I think it's because I'm polite to people and they just assume, I don't know.
Is that husky voice?
It's the husky fucking voice.
I think it's because you're nice. Did you say you think it's because you're nice?
No, because maybe it's because I'm polite and people think I'm flirting with them because I'm a bit... Am I blokey or something? I don't know.
You're not blokey. No.
But what...
I think you're... I think when you first...
Do you
first...
know the amount of comments I get on my thing saying you should be a lesbian? And then originally I was like, are they stereotyping me because I've got short hair or whatever?
But isn't that a nice thing also?
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Hey,
nice. I don't mind.
You know? I tried it once. I get the opposite vibe.
Well, that she...
No, I think you're like very ladylike and elegant and eloquent.
Oh, he's just trying to win back points for the other comment about it. No tits. No.
Oh, fuck you.
Saved myself that door comment. You're always promoting sex toys. Do you use them yourself?
Yeah, I'm about to start my own line with them.
Love that. Okay, this is a good question.
Sex positivity, that's what it is.
How do you get out of a toxic relationship if you're addicted to the person?
I think it gets to a point where enough's enough. But the thing, this is really hard with this. And when I went through this with my ex, I knew it was toxic for a long time. And then I think I mentally broke up with them because it got so bad. But it's really hard because you can't. I wouldn't really know. It's you have to if you realize that it's toxic and it's not going to get any better, then the only thing to do really is to walk away, but you have to be ready to walk away because otherwise you keep going back. And I did it with my ex, as we did this back and forth for so long, and every time we got back together it got worse and worse and worse. By the time I actually ended it with him, I didn't even cry because I was so but you have to be at that point when you know it's really done.
Yeah, that makes sense. It is pretty hard.
It's not easy.
I had that with my first girlfriend, and you know, you go in a vicious circle because there's a strong amount of love. And
but you love the highs and then there's the lows and the ups and the downs. And also, as much like I don't, my next relationship, it has to be like stable. Like
I think something I've learned is that you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
To anyone who is in a toxic relationship or who is unhappy and needs to walk away, it takes time and you'll just learn from it. And there'll be a pinnacle moment in that relationship where you go, okay, I'm happy to leave now. I can do this. And it takes time. And you know, your friends will be like, what are you doing? You're stupid for going back. Hey, you'll do it in your own time. It will happen when it happens.
Yeah. And it's so interesting. I was at a wedding last year and one of my friend's mum said to me, she goes, honestly, you'll wake up one day and you'll walk away and you'll know it was the best thing you ever did. And I was like, I just can't see that happening. Anyway, and literally it happened. Yeah. I woke up one morning and I thought, what the fuck am I doing? Yeah. I was like, I can't waste any more time in my life.
Yeah, very, very good point.
Basically.
Yeah, because when you get to my age, it's...
Yeah, when you get old like that, fuck, downhill. You know?
Your JOMO company, is it international or just for UK orders?
Currently, it's just UK, but we are looking into shipping worldwide.
You carry yourself with such grace. Where do you get your confidence from?
I think that's come with age. And we spoke about this a bit last time, but yeah, having the alopecia thing, I think I used to be so self-conscious as a teenager that weirdly having alopecia has made me more confident because now I just don't care that much anymore.
That's it's really when you go through things like that, it's embracing you yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. So I saw this podcast and I haven't done it yet and I'm going to do it, right? Well, I mean, I've seen myself in the mirror naked, right? But someone, it was this podcast about like how you view your body, and they said go in front of the mirror naked and stand there for like 2 minutes and just stare at all the features of your body. Really? and you start to learn to love your body more and more, because when you look at it at a quick glance, you're like, I hate that, and that's it. You look away and you dress yourself up or anything.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go into the mirror and you stand there naked and you kind of face that fear of like you rejecting yourself, and day by day apparently it's really, really easy.
But it's two different confidence things: confidence in the way you look, confidence in who you are as a person. But I think and my mum was the one who said that to me. She was like, honestly, the older you get, the less you care. And I think it's true.
Yeah.
It doesn't, no. You're not going to suddenly...
Very true.
Yeah. I wasn't confident as a teenager at all. Go on, David. What is it?
No, we'll do a different one. How many times a week, ideally, would you like to have sex when in a relationship?
I think I asked that. Enough. A lot.
What's enough?
No, I'm quite not sexually driven, but I do enjoy sex.
Why are you down there?
I don't know, because I don't want to make eye contact with either one of you two when I'm talking about my sex life.
Why are you looking at Laurie then?
I'm looking down there.
You look at Laurie's penis.
Yeah, stop looking at Laurie's cock. Okay, here we go. This is a good one. Testy, but let's go. Snog, marry, avoid. Sam Thompson, Tristan, and Digby. I can change the Tristan name if you want.
Snog, marry, avoid. I mean, I'm going
to... Actually, I'll change it.
I have slept with all three of them. I slept with at school.
Oh, wow. Did you?
Sam Thompson.
Really?
Yeah, when I was like 16.
Wow, how's
Sam
that?
Sam and I were at school together. This is pre-veneers and the gym. And then I had three relationships. Two-year relationship with Digby and three-year relationship with Tristan. Yeah. That was my on to Made in Chelsea. My in to Made in Chelsea was Sam's mate.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
So we can't know any of that.
Okay, there we go.
I knew that.
I didn't know that.
Okay. I know, actually. Can we cancel that? Because I like that people forget about that.
Nope. You want pay time. Okay. Do you have a question?
In an ideal world, what would your life look like in 5 years' time? Shout out Leslie for that one.
I would love to be in a position where JOMO's doing really well, but because it's actually helping people. And that's why I actually enjoy doing it now, because I know what it's like. You know, people who go on reality shows and they launch some company and it's all like, and not to say this nastily, but like, it's not me trying to flog something that's useless. Like, I actually really believe in it. And the testimonials I get from a lot of people saying how much they love it and it actually works and it's actually helped them, I would love to be in a position in a few years' time where, like, yeah, I've got like a really successful company because it's actually done well for what it is. If that makes sense.
I love that. That's really, really good. I just want to know, fuck, marry, kill, Miles, Harvey, Rez.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Stroke your ego.
Yeah, a little bit.
Marry Miles, fuck Harvey and kill Rez. Only because I have slept with Harvey as well. Fucking hell, it's just an out of all the people I've slept with. That was a couple times as well. Don't slut shame me, because I've done the show for 8 years. But let's get rid of it.
I like you keep giving yourself there's nothing wrong.
I love when it gets uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know why? You know what it is? Because people used to really slut shame me, but what they didn't appreciate is that those were the only sort of relationships / flings I was having.
Exactly. And that is what 3-4 guys, that's nothing. And you're an old, you know, woman now. I was gonna say she's an old hag now. So let's do two more questions.
How does she keep such an amazing figure?
Walking.
Yeah, actually, you walk a lot, don't you?
Yeah.
You must do like 50,000 steps a day, I reckon. You walk so much. It's mad.
I do like walking. I'm not a gym person. But weirdly, when I used to gym, when I was in past relationships, I didn't like the way my body looked. Whereas now I just like walking, listening to a bit of Shania Twain and getting on with it.
Remember when we went on a little walk in Corsica and we got stuck on those rocks?
Yeah, David and I got, we got stranded at one point.
When?
Him and I decided to wake up early and go for a walk. Well,
the day we were all supposed to go for a walk, only Liv and I got
I remember that.
I think I went in flip-flops or something. I was climbing over these rocks with no shoes on. Then we got to a bit and I was like, can't go any further. Liv was like, no, you were actually sick at climbing the rocks. You were like a spider woman flying around everywhere. And I was like, ooh,
You big
pussy. I just realised you asked the question.
What's his question?
I'm addicted to wanking now. I've got Jomo. What should I do?
I didn't do that.
Yeah, look, it says temps. You're less. Okay, one more question.
What should I do?
No.
What do you mean? Keep wanking. I'll give you more lube.
Keep calm and wank on.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. I don't like this question, but I want to ask it for you to respond to it. So not answer the question, to kind of like have a... It's interesting. Look, hey, you can answer in the way you want it. Do you think you would still have the same outlook on life if you weren't from a wealthy family?
Well, this is an interesting one because I think... I'm not from a family of like, we don't get handouts. We were all age 16. Everyone had to start paying their own phone bills. We all had to get a job. It was not like a case of, you know, like would I have a different outlook? Like, but my parents were very good with me and all my sisters because there's five of us. So it wasn't a case of like, one of you gets a car, so does the next one. It wasn't really like that. Like my job before coming onto Chelsea, well, I was genuinely making quiches at the garden centre. And I actually loved it. I was doing that and my photography. But my parents had a thing, like, we all had to work in hospitality and, like, actually get, like, start off getting jobs and making our own money. So I don't know.
It means your outlook of life wouldn't have changed because your parents did a good job.
They didn't give us anything. And, like, even with Jomo, it frustrates me sometimes because they're like, oh, you know, this is all my own money that I've saved up and made. I did all of this myself. I never had, my parents have never given me any money. And they actually haven't. Like, they've never paid my rent. I've always worked.
Yeah. I love that. I really do.
And I would do the same thing with my kids. Like, I would make sure they know the value of money. And I remember saying to my mum once, when I'd saved up enough and I think I'd like bought something, it's probably not even that expensive, and I just thought, like, the satisfaction of making your own money and then spending it your own money.
Yeah.
I remember the first time it happened, like, I can't remember what I bought, some crap or something, dildo. But it was so like, what did you say?
Dildo.
Shut up, dude.
No, there's an amazing feeling. I remember when I first made my first big buck.
Yeah.
And the first thing I did is I went to Hugo Boss and went, Dad, pick whatever you want. And then he picked like a jacket thing, and I that feeling of like, I made this for years and years, you bought me Christmas presents, birthdays, whatever, and I can give this to you.
Yeah.
It is an amazing feeling to be able to do that.
It's rewarding. But I think this is the misconception with Made in Chelsea, is that people assume you're like, come from these loaded families where you just get everything handed on a plate. Like, you know what, for sure, I was incredibly fortunate that I went to a private school and that my parents could give me that education. Obviously ended up on TV, so it was fucking pointless. But that's
you
what
did
dad
get
said.
To have sex with Sam Thompson, though.
Oh, shut up! Can we cut that one out, please? Nope. Seriously.
Sorry, Laurie's out of his hands. He can't do that. It's impossible.
No, it's about outlook, isn't it? I don't think. I don't know. I wouldn't know what you'd be like if you were not from a wealthy family. But your outlook on life is very, from what I know, happy and like your life and soul.
But I'm
party.
Quite grounded. I don't have these like ridiculous ideas. I'm not like a person who has designer handbags and expects. I have no expectation. Like, I don't expect much. It's like if I was to date a guy, I would never expect them to pay for everything. And like, do you know what I mean? Whereas I think some people who come from a lot of money think that that's what
life is.
Yeah.
And don't get wrong. Look, there are people I've definitely met through doing Chelsea who do live a certain lifestyle like that. Doesn't mean they're necessarily bad people. And I think there's this really bad thing where, oh, you come from a wealthy background or you haven't learnt these values, you're a horrible person. It's like, that's not their fault.
Yeah, it's not. And like, I'm sorry, but anyone in that position would have taken advantage and probably
been
the same.
You don't know what would happen.
Yeah.
But we're going to end it there. Honestly, this has been
a happy ending.
Happy ending with Jomo. This has been such a pleasure to have you on again. Thank you for coming along again. And also thank you for another episode star
really
co-host.
This was actually really interesting for me to sit and listen to you two talk. I feel I've got benefit out of this.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Did I do good as a host?
Well, it's more Liv like, and there's a lot of educational stuff around Jomo. It's amazing to see what you've done with your platform to launch the brand, but also like actually know your product and know loads about it and everything else around it. No, but it's the stuff around it that everyone doesn't know about it, and you can tell that a lot of time and hard work's gone into that.
So well done. Very sweet. Yeah, have a
mic. I really appreciate you guys' support with it.
No, always, always. Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us again on Playtime. Again, if you don't know already, we are releasing each week on Patreon an exclusive episode where you get to see some juicier bits. More juicy than this, because it's quite hard to do. But yeah, $3.99 and you sign up and there's exclusive things, giveaways and loads more that we're offering at the moment. So go check that out. We have done a whole episode with Liv as well on there. And there's a few things that we shouldn't be saying, but we did. And don't forget to give us a lovely rating on Spotify. Get those ratings up and subscribe everywhere and watch everything we do. And also, if you want some lube and some sex in your life, go and get yourself a Jomo using Miles 10 or Temps 10 for a cheeky discount. We love you and we'll see you next time.
Cute.